Why is Museveni so afraid of you?
The pen is always mightier than the sword and the gun. So every wise dictator would really fear a writer who practices freedom to write without fear of litigation and the aftermath of it.
But why is writing so dangerous for the regime?
First of all, writers, we are very dangerous people. So, for example, when a writer is living in a society that is full of mess, of course, we have to write about that mess and we inform the public, the people that are staying in such a society. And dictators, they're always in a dark hellhole doing their shit. And for us writers, we are like light that shines through the hellholes. So they don't want light in their hellholes. They don't want to be disturbed.
What's the problem with the current regime? Why do you want Museveni to leave? Or is it really about Museveni, or is it more about the system for you?
How can someone lead a country for, it's coming to 40 years now? It was like a sham liberation struggle from 1970s up to 1986 when he installed himself as a president. He masqueraded as if he was fighting for the population, fighting against corruption, all the injustices, impunity, you know, human rights abuses. But when he installed himself as a president, the first thing to do was that. He started murdering critics, imprisoning critics. He started looting and plundering of resources. He built for himself a kingdom in the country where he's a king, and he wants to rule forever. And when he dies, he wants to dictate on whom to inherit him. So there is absolutely no rule of law, no constitutionalism, even the judiciary. All the institutions are currently under his hands. And you know that democracy depends on strong and independent institutions. You cannot have full control of parliament, you have full control of judiciary, you have full control of the army and the police. All the civil society organizations that have been championing for rule of law, human rights, they have all been expelled and their licenses cancelled. As long as you're singing praises to him, he's at peace with you. But when you start criticizing him, that is where the trouble begins.
Some supporters would say, okay, he created like relative security in the region compared to neighboring countries, and also economic development.
Which economic development? There can never be economic development when we are lumbering with debts. Uganda is indebted, and the World Bank and IMF, they keep giving us more loans. As they are giving us loans, which are supposed to be helping the poor to develop, such loans are not put into productivity. Instead, they are stolen, and they are stolen by him and his kin. Then about peace and security in the Great Lakes region, who destabilizes the peace and security? He's doing all that shit because of he's helping the people who want to plunder Congo, for example. As Congo, you know, is the richest country in the whole world in terms of minerals. So every Western country has an interest in it. So they try by all means to create something like a war, and they use Museveni to masquerade as if he's fighting, as they are stealing, as he's helping them to steal. Right now, for example, Uganda is the leading exporter of gold. But we do not have mines in Uganda to produce such gold. But gold leads on the export in Uganda. We don't know where the revenue goes. We don't know where it comes from. So where do you think it comes from? It is stolen from Congo. There was an illegal invasion into Congo. He took the UPDF, National Army, without consulting parliament. That was in total disregard of the law. So they are not there to look for ADF rebels, but they are there to steal. If they were not there to steal, why would they reach there and they start constructing roads, you know? They first construct roads through the forest that they are hunting rebels. Who does that? They are constructing roads so that they can transport, they can steal timber, they can steal minerals.
What's the current state of the opposition in Uganda? Is it just a few courageous individuals like you, or are you part of a bigger movement that opposes and fights the regime?
He tries by all means to infiltrate, to create that division in the opposition. He bankrolls some opposition people so that they fuel the division. For example, me myself, since 2020, have been approached 5 times to accept political appointments, accept offers, material offers like houses, like cars, so that I stop criticizing the government. But that is not my aim. I do not criticize the government because I want such benefits. My criticism is not materialistically driven. My criticism is based on issues. One, to see free people, good governance, respect of rule of law, equality. I cannot fight the devil and again join the devil on the table to eat with it. I would credit myself for that. I would credit Bobi Wine. I would credit Dr. Hakiza Besigye for staying in line. Though I am not a politician, I'm just a writer.
In May, there were students who protest against the rise of the prices of commodities and they were arrested. Is the movement against the regime right now more a students' movement? Is it more workers, unemployed people, peasants, or more academic circles?
The elites are a great disappointment. They think that when they join the movement, they will lose their jobs. Right now, it is unemployed, courageous people like such students. They are cooked in oppression and they think that the right thing to do is to get up. It is just stuck because people fear. They fear to be gunned down, they fear to be tear gassed. I remember when Bobi Wine was. There is one time he called for a protest against social media tax and everyone was willing to join him, but when he appeared downtown he was there with 3 other people, only 3, and when they brought tear gas he also jumped on a border and disappeared in thin air. Right now to fight Museveni is to fight, really handle his source of income, his source of energy, his source of fuel, the Western governments that support him. They give him wings. The American government that gives him military support, that gives him financial support, the World Bank, the European Union. It actually disturbs me that you Germans, you pay tax through the nose. And your tax is used to finance terrorism in Uganda. So first, think about it. If the European Union stopped funding Museveni, the UK government, the American government, if they stopped funding Museveni, do you think that he will survive for 1 year? He can never. So we have to use the economic weapons to fight such a dictator right now, because mass protests will always be curtailed because he has the guns. He will always kill the people for his power. You saw what happened in November last year when people came out to protest, how many people were killed. They were actually underreported. About 300 people were murdered. SFC, his personal army, on the streets, out on rampage, shooting at everyone they see, you know?
And many Ugandans have put their faith in the opposition candidate, Bobi Wine, who's also a musician, during the last elections in 2021. Do you think he can bring the change you hope for?
Okay, he's a very good mobilizer. I believed in him, but the post-election silence after his victory was rigged, he decided to be at peace with the dictator. Should have mobilized us and we go on the streets and we put down the government and we reclaim our victory, because we massively voted for him and he won the election and they decided to announce a dictator who was not voted for. So after that election, he was put under house arrest for I think a week or two. we have never experienced post-election silence like this. Should have used such a moment to trigger the revolution, but instead we are experiencing silence, and that is what the dictator wants. Recently, I think 4 days ago, you saw Dr. Besigye, a revolutionary whom I respect, moved out of his gate and was like he was going to begin walk to work because of high commodity prices. And you see, up to now, he's still under house arrest because they feared that he would sparkle like what happened in 2011 when the dictator almost went because, oh, people were all over the streets protesting, you know.
What happened in 2011?
The walk-to-work protests. Everyone was very angry. We are from elections, stolen elections, and commodity prices were very high, fuel prices very high, so we resorted to walk-to-work. And on the fifth day, I think if we had it for maybe 6 days, the dictator would have fallen. But as you know, when you strike the shepherd, the sheep scatter. So what happened to Besigye on that day, on the fifth day of the protest, I will never forget it. He was violently arrested. His car was broken into. They pepper sprayed him. They beat him up. And they flew him out of Kampala. And that was the end of it. So we lacked leadership since then.
But you think a revolution is possible?
Yeah, it is possible when people rise up. When we, you know, the military cannot arrest 10,000 people on Kampala streets, can they? Nor can they kill 10,000 people on Kampala street. So we have to sacrifice ourselves. I call it sacrifice. You know, me, I'm ready to sacrifice my life for that. That is the reason you saw when I was arrested in 2020, I was beaten, badly tortured. That was in April. So when I came out of prison like this, I sat down and wrote a book narrating whatever I went through. I didn't mind about my tormentors who are still in power, but I didn't mind about it. And I published the book. They came again for me. They arrested me. When the day I published it is the day I was arrested again. And they charged me with inciting violence through literature. That was in September. So when I was released, I started promoting it. It brought them problems, sanctions. My book, Banana Republic, is read everywhere in the whole world. They got concerned that maybe there was a power behind it, there was a force behind it. So this time around, last year in December, when I was arrested and badly tortured, and you saw my scarred body, they asked me who sponsored the publication of that book. They asked me about the American embassy, they asked me about European Union, about several diplomats in Kampala. And they asked me to put it down from Amazon. When I was released, that is how I decided to. I could no longer live in such a country.
You were tortured for calling the president's son Muhoozi obese on Twitter. And now in April, I saw that Muhoozi, who's also the commander of the army, actually hosted a massive national event to celebrate his birthday. Any thoughts on Muhoozi's massive birthday party?
That man is a mental case. Military ranks find him in a bar. All he has as an achievement is being a president's son. There is nothing more. That is why we call him a genetically modified general. You know, he's breaking the law by putting himself out there as a candidate for an election without retiring from the army. And the army, they are not doing anything. Previously, for example, General Tumukunde, he harbored the aspirations to become president and he was immediately arrested and charged with treason. He didn't even publish it anywhere. they only thought that he harbored the presidential aspirations. As long as they think that you are cooking something in your head politically before retiring from the army, they come and arrest you, charge you with treason. So what about this idiot who has been on Twitter spewing all that balderdash, political balderdash, glorifying violence, but they cannot arrest him because he's a president's son. And he's using his birthday to launch his political manifesto. What is that? I understand there is a petition already in a constitutional court, but what is the court going to do? The court is also under captivity. So they are setting a very, very bad precedent.
Yeah, many people actually attended his birthday party, also celebrities and so on. How big is his support, and do you think he will become Uganda's next president?
Over my dead body, that fool can never become president. You know, he's creating this impression, like for example, he's using social media, especially Twitter and Facebook. He has bankrolled chamuchas. I don't want to call them the other name because I don't think it is suitable for the interview. But you maybe...
Bamlikas.
Yes, bamlikas. So they are chamuchas. He bankrolls them. They create very many fake accounts. Then they follow him whenever he posts his rubbish. So they start heaping encomiums. If you do not know him and you go to his social media pages and you see the comments on his tweets, you might think that the fool is loved. No, that is not love. It is hired, rented support. He pays people, like he can pay even 1,000 people, and those 1,000 people, he tells each to create 10 accounts. You know, Ugandans are jobless, pays them maybe 200 euro per month. So for me, I am a one man's army. That is what triggered my arrest in December. I handled them properly using my social media, my Twitter. I handled them and they all disappeared. And one day later, I got arrested, you know.
Where do you want to see Uganda in 10 years? And what does it take to achieve that?
We all deserve a country that is as beautiful as Germany, that doesn't have much debt, where our children go to school free. They get good education, not this rubbish our children are taught currently in schools. We want to see a great future for our children, a great environment. In Uganda, you see trees are being cut everywhere, right, left and center. I want to live in a country where we respect the environment, where we respect the laws, where we respect humanity, where we respect each other, where leaders are servants of the people.
And what does it take to achieve that?
It takes courageous men and women to say no to a dictatorship, to say no to these people who are masquerading as leaders, but they are thieves. They're just hyenas looking after goats, and goats are disappearing, and we are wondering where, yet we know that we are dealing with hyenas.
You mentioned the education system. What's wrong with the education system in Uganda?
The Minister of Education is the president's wife. The person who stopped in primary 7, who did not even see secondary school. But because she's the president's wife, she somehow managed to get a master's degree. I don't know how. Yet we all know that she didn't go to school. So how can a person like that be at the helm of the education system? The education system is all centered at seeing ignorant people everywhere, illiterate people everywhere, people with degrees, but they are foolish in their heads. They cannot think for themselves. They cannot critique. They cannot ask questions. You cannot be educated and you cannot ask questions. No critical thinking, no questioning. You cannot be educated and you're read by fools. You cannot be educated and you see fools in parliament who, instead of legislating, they are just also minding about their political positions, and you just keep quiet, you don't ask. So the education system, it favors the dictatorship more. Dictators, they always want to rule ignorant people, foolish people, illiterate people, because foolish people cannot manage to ask questions. Some of us, we have survived it because we are autodidacts. We can manage to teach ourselves. We can manage to go to the libraries and read books.
How come you haven't lost your humor through all of this?
Actually, when you read that book, Banana Republic, you will be sad. At the same time, you will laugh throughout because I told my story with humor. It is a very, very saddening story. But I told it with humor because I think naturally I'm a humorous person. Maybe people will call me a comedian, but I've really lived a very dramatic life. Yeah, I love humor. That is why even after getting all this tortured, I can manage to tell a story with a smile. Yeah, because I don't want to be a sad person, although I have passed through saddening things. I don't want to be overwhelmed by PTSD just because I cannot manage a smile. That's why I always tell my stories humorously, and I love humor.
Do you think Muhoozi is funny or not?
That man deserves to be even in a museum. How can he be funny when he's glorifying violence, how he's threatening freedom? There's no fun in that. He's just being stupid and broadcasting his stupidity everywhere.